This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com, the independent voice of UNC Sports. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com, the go-to provider for all your Tar Heel gear.
For Inside Carolina, this is Taylor Viplis, and I'm joined by former Tar Heel quarterback and tight end and current Tar Heel radio analyst, Deems May. Deems, first, thanks for joining me, as you always do this time of the week. And second, what did we learn about this North Carolina team, in your opinion, with them going stride for stride with Clemson, the number one team in the country, the defending national champions, and basically coming right down to the wire with them?
Yeah, I think the biggest thing is we're not that far off, especially with our first 11 on both sides of the ball, to be able to go toe-to-toe with them. And, you know, you saw a little bit of the depth, and they were good. They were a little bit faster on defense at the end of the game. But, it was an exciting ball game. Really proud of how we reacted, how we came out ready. And just took and went toe to toe with them. I just, the fight, as disappointed as I was the week before with our offensive line up front, they came out and fought this game, and man, it was fun to watch. And if we play like that, we have a chance to win the rest of our games. And you know, if we come out like we did against Wake and App State, we got a chance to lose every one of them. So this team found out that they're good enough to play, you know, with the elite, and they just got to be able to prepare like they did for this week for all the remaining games starting this week in Atlanta.
Yeah, to me, this game, like you said, it showed to me Carolina can play with anybody in the country when they have a great week of practice, a great week of preparation. I think their level of focus was a little sharpened this week, knowing that a team like Clemson was coming to town. I think the home field advantage helped them out. But when you have a team like Clemson coming in, your focus is going to be locked in. And now Carolina just has to be able to translate that to games like Georgia Tech, to games like Duke and NC State. Starting with Georgia Tech this weekend, the Yellow Jackets have lost two straight games to the Citadel and Temple, and Carolina is now up to a 10-point favorite. This is as close to a must-win for Carolina as it could get, right? If their end goal is trying to get to a bowl game.
Oh, without a doubt. Just you know, we've lost three in a row. So no matter how you look at it, three in a row is three in a row, and you got to find a way to beat a team that's in a transition, and they're in a much bigger transition than we are from Larry to Coach Brown, and just because of the makeup they have for that team, that triple option that Paul Johnson ran so well, and then for them to be able to come in and just establish a total new offensive system and defensive system. They're lagging behind and have some tough losses, but make no mistake, they'll come ready to play, and our history is not very good down there. So we have got to prepare like we're going to play Clemson, even though we're going to play Georgia Tech.
UNC, like you mentioned, has struggled with just two wins in Atlanta since 1997, just two wins the past 11 attempts. Is that something that becomes kind of mental for the team, or is that kind of just a fluke type stat?
That's a good question. I don't really know. It's some places you just don't play that well. And for some reason, a lot of it had to do with preparing for that triple option. And cause Paul Johnson was there quite a while, but even going back before that, obviously the success hasn't been there, but I don't know. These guys on our team probably are too young. They probably don't really remember that. And it shouldn't be that big of a factor going down there, knowing that if the end goal is to get to a bowl game this year, and the end goal is to maybe see Clemson again at the end of the season, this is a must win as it gets, for sure.
Do you have any memories from Atlanta, from your playing days? You faced them twice in Atlanta.
Yeah, Marco Coleman. I remember he was a really good player, and he and I ended up being teammates on the Chargers. But other than the varsity, eating the good hamburgers on the varsity on Friday night, and and playing. Not a whole lot of memories down there, but just I remember one good player, Marco.
Can you this wasn't in Atlanta, but I was when I was looking back and researching the UNC Georgia Tech game and the Georgia Tech series. How did North Carolina and Georgia Tech tie in 1990?
Oh man, that was a year they won the national championship with a tie. We just—I think we blocked a punt or something. I can't remember exactly what it was, but they were coming in and they were really good. And I kidded Coach Ross about it, Bobby Ross, because they were the coach and Ralph Friedgen was my coach in San Diego, and they pretty much beat us up and down the field. But somehow we got a tie on them, and that year was the year after. Two straight 1-10 seasons. So I think we finished 6-4-1 that year and 7-4 the following year. Did not go to a bowl game. So that was a tough part about it. But that was a little bit of a I don't know if that was a coming out, you know, of Coach Brown and when we were getting this worm turn, this program turn, but to tie the national champs, I think they went on to tie Colorado for the national championship and share it. So that was kind of the turning point of our program when we were really starting to play with the good teams.
Going back to my playing days, my most memorable moments from Georgia Tech, 2015, down 21-0. The fans were starting to kind of talk a little louder to us. They had a little confidence. They're kind of right on top of you at Georgia Tech Stadium. And then we kind of just rallied together. Landon Turner did a great job getting guys to believe in ourselves, because no team, I don't think, in school history had ever come back from 21 points. And then I remember going into that game, everybody was talking about how North Carolina always struggles in Atlanta. And like you had mentioned before, our whole mindset was, you know, the 2013 team has nothing to do with us. The 2011 team has nothing to do with us. And I think what you'll see on Saturday is this North Carolina team trying to distance themselves from the 2017 team that was there, because that was the other time that I was there as a member of the staff. And that was not pretty. They were up, I think, like 20 something points at the time, and their backup quarterback was in still running over guys. And it was one of those trips where you were just counting down the final seconds until you could get back on that bus to Chapel Hill. But is there any potential for an emotional letdown? North Carolina, they played Clemson so tightly, came right down to the wire, a game that they really had to get up for. And now you're going on the road to Georgia Tech, who they're transitioning to a new system. Their fans don't really have that high expectations for them. You know, you don't know how that atmosphere is going to be. So if you're North Carolina, is there a potential for a letdown? And how do you avoid that?
I think you just got to go back to the Wake Forest game. That wasn't too long ago. And we went into a team that, and I think Wake Forest is pretty good. But we still went in there thinking we were a lot better than we are. So hopefully we've learned a lesson, because that wound is still pretty fresh. And I know it'll be talked about a lot this week. And I know Coach Brown, I know the coaching staff will do as much as they can to avoid any kind of letdown. But again, we got to have players step up and be leaders as well. And the guys have got to be ready, because it comes down to being ready Friday night, being ready when you get up Saturday morning. It's a little bit of a wait till 4 o'clock, but you just cannot come out and give a team that is struggling any confidence. And we need to start like we had against Clemson and against App State, but we need to sustain it again like we did against Clemson and find a way to get another ACC win and get a break. You know, just somehow find a way to win this ball game and get a week off and see if we can heal up a little bit and come back and go try to win the Coastal.
Let's take a quick break to talk about Johnny T-Shirt. Johnny T-Shirt has been a Franklin Street tradition since 1983. Family and alumni owned and operated. They've got you covered with everything gear-wise you need for Carolina football. They've got your jerseys. They've got your Return of the Mac T-Shirts. They've got your tailgating supplies. Basically, whatever you want, Johnny T-Shirt has it. You could visit them on Franklin Street, or you could visit them online at johnnytshirt.com. And don't forget, Inside Carolina subscribers get 10% off their orders. All right, let's get back to the interview with Deems. Reflecting on this team, we're now five games into the season. What would you say the strengths of this team are?
Oh, man, that's a good question. There's no quit in them, for sure. The way we fought, I mean, every game has been down to the last play of the game, and these guys just seem to really just get up for it and get ready to go. And they just, there's just no quit in them. And I tell you, I saw some fighting offensive line. I saw some young kids step up on the defensive side of the ball. You know, special teams are getting better. Our punter's getting better. I just think that the thing you like about this team is they look like they're having fun. They look like they're getting after it. And man, if they didn't have fun Saturday, they're in the wrong sport, because that was one of the best atmospheres. Our crowd's been great. There's just so many good positive things right now that they're kind of hard to believe that they are so positive with three straight losses. But somehow there is. And, man, our fans were loud and causing all sides, and it was just a great atmosphere. And I think I just like the general overall, you know, feel of this team and how they respond to adversity and how the crowd's gotten behind them. And again, we'll need that when we get back in Keenan in a few weeks. But somehow they have to kind of add this up, put their best game, you know, together each week and get better each week. And somehow that's got to start at Georgia Tech, and somehow get out of Atlanta with a win and then kind of get to regroup. So I just think the overall mindset and just like the whole body of the whole football team and the crowd and everything else was just great Saturday. There's something about it just I can't pinpoint right now, but just like this team a lot for sure.
Somebody that's contributed to that change in the mindset, Sam Howell at quarterback. Under pressure, we talked about this a couple podcasts ago where that Wake Forest kind of set the blueprint for, you know, how to attack Sam Howell with putting a lot of pressure on him. Sam Howell under pressure against Clemson, he was 7 of 8, 89 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. Had his best game under pressure by far. How is that something that he can kind of build on moving forward?
Easy. I mean, arguably, I don't think we're going to see a better defense. And the way they were rotating people in and out, and they moved very, very well. I mean, they could run, they tackled well, they were in the right spots. But man, he's a player. He extends some plays and he doesn't panic. And each game he's getting better. He's getting a little quicker through his progressions. He's finding that guy when the first two are closed down, because let's face it, Clemson, you know, they shut us down. And again, offensive line stepped up, and he had some time. I think he got sacked a couple times, but man, there were some times in there where he could get to that second, third option. And when you start getting that happening, then you're going to have some confidence in your offense and in your offensive line that you're going to be able to get through your first and second read and get to the third one. And a couple of those big time third down conversions and the touchdown were, I think, second and third options a couple times. So that's just a positive for sure going forward.
I remember when people this offseason would compare Sam Howell to Baker Mayfield. I was like, oh, come on, guys. You're comparing a true freshman to a Heisman Trophy winner. But you can see the similarities in their game in the sense that a lot of times they can make something out of nothing. And the confidence the team plays behind those guys, you just always feel like you have a chance in a game and you can make enough plays to get a win behind those guys, kind of.
Yeah, I tell you, everybody was stepping up. But man, he's got that little bounce to his step that you knew before we even, you know, I just saw it in camp and a couple scrimmages, and he just seems like he's comfortable back there, and the guys know they're going to get, you know, he had a couple drops, you know, that were probably his fault. I mean, he gets pumped up in there, and he had some mustard on the ball a couple times. It would have been tough catches for anybody, but the more he gets used to maybe putting a little bit more touch on it, but sure does make plays when it happens. And these receivers are stepping up and knowing that if they keep working, he'll find them somehow. And I, again, back to the offensive line, they know if they give him a chance to get to the second, third one, if the first one's closed, then we're going to get some first downs and move the chains. And it happened Saturday.
Yeah, when Clemson took the lead in the fourth quarter, I think – in the past, Carolina would have had the mindset of, you know, oh man, like here we go. We played this great game and now we're facing an uphill battle. But Sam Howell just responded with 16 play, 75 yard touchdown drive. And just the confidence he's playing, he's going to give Carolina a chance to be in a lot of these games coming down. But on the flip side of when you're talking about the strengths of this team, what would you say the weaknesses are or where this team still has to improve going forward?
Well, you know, I just depth, period. We've talked about that a lot the first few weeks of the season, just having enough depth that when you have a Patrice Renee go out or, you know, any of these guys that have gone out, that the drop off isn't that far. And some of these young guys stepped up big time Saturday, and I think Storm Duck and Tamari Fox and Cameron Kelly, three true freshmen started. So just building the depth, you know, we've got to continue to recruit our way into some good depth like Clemson had and continue to get better and win some of these 50-50. I think the 50-50 balls have really hurt us. We have not done well the last three weeks of getting any of those 50-50 balls. And I tell you what, Dre's got them in good position. They just got to go learn and make the play because a couple of these receivers have taken advantage of us some. And if we get up and start winning some of these 50-50 balls and maybe get a few picks, then that would be one area I could see us really need to improve on. Just running the ball downhill a little bit better. I think we did the first play of the game last week. I mean, I think we had 9 yards straight in the middle. I mean, we were shoving them. And you get going like that and get our offensive line where they believe it, they're going to knock people off the ball. Then we have a good shot in every game left. So I would say continue to work on our running game and outside on the perimeter, get some of these 50-50 balls, jump balls that these quarterbacks are throwing up on us.
Going off a point you just made, last year, Carolina's secondary, they got picked on a numerous amount of times. And like you mentioned, this year, they're at least in the right spot to make plays. They've made a lot more plays. A guy like Miles Wolfolk with 3 interceptions. How big of an impact do you think bringing Dre Bly has been to those players' confidence? I think they had some of those seniors, they've had 4 position coaches in 4 years. And how big is it for those guys to have a guy like Dre Bly teaching them and knowing, hey, you know, if I listen to this guy, he's a Super Bowl champion. He was an All-American at Carolina. He's been here before. He knows what he's saying. How big has he been for that position group?
I mean, if you ever know, I've known Dre a long time, and he doesn't lack any confidence. And I tell you, it's spilled over to his players now, and he's got them believing in themselves and in the right spot. And I think Jay Bateman's done a great job all the way across the board on defense of having guys in the right spot. We haven't tackled as well as we should, and we talked about that ad nauseum, and don't need to get back into that, but that'll come with depth. But just in the secondary, there's a bounce to their step. They're in the right spots, and I mean – as we talked about forever last couple of years, post-game shows, and just too many people were running down the middle of the field wide open and knock on wood. Right now, that's not happening. We're covering, and now we just got to go make some plays. And Miles has done it, and we'll get some other guys to do it for sure. But they sure are in the right spot, and they believe in themselves. And that's got to give all the credit to Dre and Coach Bateman for getting them in the right spots.
When you look at this team as a whole, are there any specific players that you've seen kind of emerge? We know about the guys like Aaron Crawford and Jason Strobridge and the Sam Howells, but is there anybody kind of flying under the radar in your opinion?
I don't know. I don't know if he's flying under the radar, but he's my favorite player, and that's Chaz Surratt. I tell you, that guy could have entered the portal. He could be, you know, trying to play quarterback somewhere else, but he loved the school and he stayed. And man, he is just flat balling. I said it on the radio afterwards. He's a football player. He's a baller. And as soon as he learns to tackle a little bit more, tackle better, and the more he gets the feel for that linebacker role, I think he's going to be a staple in there for a long time. But I couldn't be prouder of a player after watching, just having him come in and embrace a new position. And not only has he embraced it, he's really good. And I mean, and he has got some serious closing speed, and he closed out on a couple passes on Saturday and close in on Trevor Lawrence. I mean, he is a fast, quick dude, and I can't wait to watch him as he gets more and more experience.
Yeah, he's definitely been one of the best stories, not just on this UNC team, just in all of college football this season. Against Clemson, he had 7 tackles, a sack, 2 tackles for a loss, 3 quarterback pressures, 2 pass breakups. I remember this offseason, I saw Chaz in Chapel Hill and I said, you know, you're switching a linebacker, really? And he said, I could go to the NFL. I know I could do it playing linebacker. And at the time, I kind of thought it was crazy, but watching him, he's going to get a shot to play on Sundays just with how athletic he is, right?
No doubt. I think he'll have a long career. He would be one of the ones that's going to be a staple on special teams in the NFL. I mean, if you watch him run down on kicks for us, I mean, he's the first one to the 30. He's learning that linebacker position. Man, if, and his speed and size, I mean, he's he's a perfect size right now. And I just had no idea he was so fast. I knew he was fast, but I didn't know. He's just got instincts already for closing on the ball. And that's hard to teach. And if he's got it naturally, then yeah, I think he's got a long NFL career ahead of him.
You switched from quarterback to another position and also had a great deal of success. Is it just a case if you're an athlete, you can find somewhere to be successful on the field?
I don't know about athletic, but I tell you, if you love the game and you really enjoy every bit of it, then yeah, you can learn just about any position. You got to be blessed with size for sure, and Chaz sure is, and I was too, and you got to have a little, you know, you got to have a little nastiness to you where you're getting in there and you like it and you like the contact and you just want to play, and that equated to a long career for me, mainly on special teams, but. It started with Tim Brewster taking me from quarterback and putting me as a tight end, and we started a long list of great tight ends that came out of University of North Carolina under Coach Brew, and I see that continuing too with the guys we have now. But it's more about just loving to play the game, finding a place, and loving just playing with teammates and wanting to be on the field, you know. And if you're not good enough at one position, then go try another one and find a way to get on the field, and that's what Chaz has done, and he's going to turn out to be a star for sure.
Going back to a couple other specific players that I've seen emerge that I just wanted to kind of give a quick shout out to on the defensive side of the ball. I'm not sure if it's, you know, these players were just ready to take the next step, or if it was Jay Bateman's scheme putting them in the right spot, or, you know, just it's probably some combination of the two. But a guy like Alan Cater in his senior year, I thought he did a really good job against Clemson when he couldn't get to Trevor Lawrence. He had the understanding to get his hands up and be disruptful in the passing lanes and batting down a couple balls at the line. I thought Alan Cater played really well, a guy coming off a season-ending injury last year. And, you know, when you lose an entire season to injury, that takes a toll on you mentally. And just seeing him bounce back on the field, he only played 21 snaps on defense, but the 21 snaps he did play on defense, those were meaningful reps.
Yeah, and I tell you one that really, really gets in my crawl was the quarterback draw for the touchdown. Cater was in the perfect position right in the A-gap, and the Clemson guard reached out and just grabbed him and pulled him to the side. And it was I was sitting on the other side, in the blue zone on the other side, and saw the hold in the middle of the field from my seat. So I know it was just a blatant hole, but if you go back and look at that one right there, he was in the right spot. He made some good plays all day long. If we stop him right there and they just kick a field goal instead of the touchdown, who knows? But, I mean, that was just one of the most blatant holes, and he was in the right position. So, yeah, I think all these guys have accepted their roles no matter how much. Antonio Williams, for example, what a great leader. And he's not getting that many carries. His time will come. Cater, 21 snaps. But when he's in there, you know, they're making plays. And, again, that goes back to – what we were talking about, just the overall feel of this team and how close they are and how excited they are, you know, to be together and be out there. And that's something that has resonated from just watching the first five games.
The offensive line, they had a much better game. And I don't think it's a coincidence they had Charlie Heck back on the offensive line. He played the entire game with a cast on his hand, playing his best game of the season. What does that say about, you know, his fight and his toughness and his dedication to this team, where the trainers told him, you know, it's going to hurt. You can't hurt it any worse, but he still wanted to be out there with his guys.
Yeah. It just, you know, just hats off to him. Again, you got to love the game. You want to be in there. You know, it's not an easy game. It's a nasty game. And you sometimes you have to play hurt, and there's a big difference between, you know, just playing hurt and being truly injured. And you got to step up, and, you know, what great leadership. And, man, he's just so technically sound. He just – if you just watch his sets, they're so fun to watch. And he got after it. I mean, these guys were rolling the people in, you know, every other play. They were rolling guys. And our offensive line as a whole, I think really grew up and had a lot of fight in them. And really proud of all of them, because I did not think they did very well against Appalachian State in the turnaround on a week's notice against the number one team in the country with all the depth they had. And really, really, I'm almost going to say outplay them, maybe not all the way, but, man, they improved a ton.
Okay, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsors.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced. Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina, yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls.
Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
One of the first things that Dabo gave credit to in his post-game press conference, Jay Bateman. What have you seen from Jay Bateman's defense, how he's just constantly evolving his approach with this team in terms of schematics and, you know, rotating guys in and out and just putting the guys in the best position to make plays? Because that's something that we haven't seen in Carolina since probably the Butch Davis days, a team that could put together a great defense. And Clemson was held to their lowest point total and their lowest yardage total since I'm pretty sure they played Alabama in the national championship.
Yeah, I tell you, he's the thing that we talked about. Everybody just seems to be in the right spot, you know, and then he'll bring people from different areas. And but our gap technique, and where we are, you know, with the exception of a couple plays where sometimes we lost contain against App State when we needed that quarterback down. Those are just a few. I mean, for the most part, we're in the right spot. And if we continue to build depth and continue to be able to get these guys in the right spot and get them some rest, you know, and start rolling them in and out so they're fresher in the fourth quarter, especially with all these hot games we played, we're going to be okay. And I just know that it's just so much fun. I mean, how many times did we get off the field in the second half? You know, when our offense was struggling, Clemson's D was playing good, we found a way to get off on third down, and we stopped them on fourth down, and we got a turnover. And those are the type of things we talked about in the pregame about the only chance you're going to have to beat a Clemson was to get a couple turnovers and get after them. But, man, we stoned them pretty good up on D, and I tell you, I hope Coach Bateman stays a long time, that's for sure.
How is Carolina? Because you know Jay Bateman is going to get offers after this season. Is that something that Mac has to be focusing on now, or – is it just a case of, you know, when that time comes, Mac will do whatever it takes to keep Jay Bateman there?
Yeah, I think it's a little premature right now because, you know, but he surely will get calls. And I tell you, Chapel Hill's not a bad place. And these assistant coaches love it. And you know, it'd have to be – I'm sure that there could be some big boys come calling with a lot of money. But I think Jay likes it, Chapel Hill. I think he likes building what we're building. And you know, we'll cross that bridge when we get to it. But – I like that. I like your coaches being coveted. I think it says a lot about your program. So you want your coaches, especially your coordinators, to get head jobs. And if that happens, that's great. It just happens. But, you know, the one thing you don't want is a lateral move. And I tell you, I just think that he likes it here. And I'm sure if we have to pay him, we'll go find the money and pay him. But, you know, right now, I think there's more things that Coach Brown's worried about than somebody poaching him so soon.
He keeps building this defense up. He's going to get a statue out in front of Keenan.
Yeah, we'll raise the money for it for sure.
One area that Carolina has really been battered, the secondary. Miles Wofolk was out last week. Cameron Kelly left the Clemson game. You want to take that next man up approach, but you're slowly running out of people to be that next man up. How big of a challenge is that going to be for Carolina where – you know, they put somebody in and the next guy gets hurt. They put somebody in, the next guy gets hurt. And then you're starting to look down at the end of the bench and those guys are obviously not in the game because you weren't as confident in their abilities. So how is the staff going to kind of manage that as more and more people go out in that secondary?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't think we're going to – well, we can't go out and get anybody from, you know, from the student body, I don't think. So we're just going to have to play who can play. And some guys that maybe play corner have to play safety or safety play corner and just – you just got to go with what you got. It's tough because I know Cameron Kelly had a good game and Storm Duck had a good game. You know, it just – you just got to play who's available. I really don't know how to address it until you can start building more depth in the off season. And hopefully we'll get some of these guys back. I know we're not going to get Patrice back, but and it doesn't sound like Kelly may be back, but you never know on the other guys. So hopefully, you know, we can get get a victory, get to this bye week and kind of regroup and find out who can play.
We've said it since the first podcast that the goal of this team should be a bowl game. And when you're looking at the schedule, this game against Georgia Tech starts the first of five straight Coastal games. So when you're looking at this schedule and Georgia Tech, Virginia Tech, Duke, Virginia, Pittsburgh is coming up, how are you kind of approaching it in terms of your bowl outlook?
So cliche, but it's just you got to win one game at a time. I mean, obviously, Virginia Tech's down a little bit. Georgia Tech's down a little bit. Duke is not down. I mean, they played lights out up at Virginia Tech, I heard. And, you know, Virginia's got a great quarterback. They're ranked. NC State will play the best game of the career, the best game of the year for them, for sure. And they know that all they have to do is beat us, and their coach gets a contract extension. And those are just the facts. So I hate to be cliched, but you can't look at anything right now but Georgia Tech and say, all right, let's find a way to get this one, find some time off, and then go on to the next one.
Yeah, I think the Clemson game showed that Carolina can contend with anybody. There isn't a game on their schedule that they should be scared about going forward. They got through the hard part of their schedule with Clemson and Miami and South Carolina, App State, Wake Forest, all teams that are either they have a lot of talent or it's a team that's been together for quite some time. So I think, like you said, if you just approach it every game like it's your Super Bowl and you come in with that laser focus and that mentality, there isn't a game on Carolina's schedule that they can't win.
I totally agree. And there's only 12 games on the schedule. So this isn't basketball, this isn't baseball where you can, you can afford some losses. You only have 12 games and you need to get up every single one of them and you can't have any more letdowns. And hopefully we've learned a lesson from coming out extremely flat at Wake Forest. And I think somewhat too against Appalachian State. And then flip side of that, coming out and playing way over our heads and playing great and taking the number one team down to a 2-point play to win. So there's got to be a constant effort to make sure that you come out the same way you did against Clemson, especially starting this week.
We'll see how North Carolina plays on Saturday, 4 p.m. at Georgia Tech on the ACC Network. And then, Deans, we'll catch up next week. It was a great time talking to you today.
Okay, man. Talk to you.
Thanks for listening to another podcast from InsideCarolina.com. Brought to you by JohnnyT-Shirt.com. Where to go for your next Tar Heel gear purchase.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.